tweet at SaturdayRTE.
Now, if you were listening to Radio 1 at this time last Saturday, you would have heard the voices of former female members of the Army, Naval Service and Air Corps describing the discrimination, bullying, sexual harassment and sexual assaults they experienced while serving in uniform. The Women of Honour documentary came 21 years after Dr. Tom Clonan's PhD research first exposed this culture in the Defence Forces. In 2006, Dr. Shirley Graham was also given permission to conduct her PhD research on gender issues in the Defence Forces in relation to the deployment of women on Irish peacekeeping missions. Earlier this year, she submitted an account of her experiences while conducting this research to the Commission on the Defence Forces. Speaking to me from Washington, where she's now Associate Professor of International Affairs with George Washington University, Dr. Graham said she quickly realised that female soldiers were reluctant to speak to her because of the backlash there had been to Clonan's research. So she decided she'd have to travel to a peacekeeping mission to recruit participants for her research. Just to say, there is some content of a graphic nature in this interview.
I attended a course prior to deploying to that mission myself. And it was very interesting for me that one of the senior male officers during the coffee break said to me, "Shirley, do you know what the two biggest problems on a peacekeeping mission are?" And I just said, "What are they?" And he said, "Women and alcohol." And it was only me surrounded by a group of men. And they all laughed. So again, just another kind of early signal in terms of the culture of the Irish Defence Forces and what I was going to be dealing with throughout my research process.
And then you did actually personally experience sexual harassment.
On my first evening, after I had spent some time in the officers' mess, I simply went to use the toilet. A man followed me in and he exposed his penis to me. I didn't say anything or do anything at the time. I went back to my room and I double locked the door to be sure of my own security. I didn't report it. I very much regret that. But I think I was really concerned about being seen as making a fuss and then potentially that would have adverse impact on my research. Possibly people wouldn't want to talk to me. I myself could get labelled as a bit of a troublemaker, so I kept quiet about it.
And just to be clear, the person who did that, who exposed himself to you in that toilet...
It was a male member of the Irish Defence Forces. I don't know what his rank was.
Ultimately, you discussed issues around harassment with the female members, but those stories never appeared in your final thesis. Why?
Yeah, this was a really complicated situation for me and one that created a huge amount of distress and anxiety. Firstly, I had to sign a performer with the Irish Defence Forces to basically receive permission to conduct the research in the first place. Now, what that meant was that all of my data and content would be passed through the Human Resources Department, and I would have to seek approval from them to put my data into my final thesis, which would go before my examining board. So all the way through the research process, I was concerned about this, that my data would be withdrawn and I would have no thesis at the end of the process. So I was advised by a colleague to send a draft to a senior male officer in the Irish Defence Forces who was considered to be a rational intellect and who would give me a good steer. This particular officer came back and his response was simply that he was enraged by this chatter. I then had a dilemma. Do I keep it in or do I take it out? He said it was questionable whether I would be able to basically get my PhD thesis approved with that chapter in. It wasn't a given either way, but it was obviously a worry. The second reason was that I was concerned about the welfare of the women who had reported incidents to me. You know, basically, they had not formally reported these incidents. They had chosen not to because they didn't feel safe in the Irish Defence Forces to do so. So what I decided to do instead was I put in a one-page statement saying that these incidents had been shared with me, that obviously there were deep concerns about them and the fact that women didn't feel they could report. And it was the responsibility of the Irish Defence Forces to put in place safe justice mechanisms for women who experience sexual harassment or assault or bullying.
And that chapter that never appeared, what was in that chapter? Can you share with us now?
So, for example, a woman reported being sexually assaulted in a peacekeeping mission by a male peer. There was another incident, a woman experiencing sexual harassment and bullying. And again, didn't report for fear that this would somehow, you know, she'd receive a backlash or it would hinder her promotion opportunities. And also an incident of physical assault. In this case, a woman was actually kicked and beaten by two of her male superiors so badly that she was hospitalized. They even visited her in the hospital to warn her off and to threaten her if she dared to speak out. So these were some of the incidents, and obviously the women were very frightened that, you know, these would become known and that they would experience a backlash, albeit they did want to share these incidents with me and have them included in my research.
There was an incident as well when you were presenting some of your research to a senior officer.
Yeah, I had a couple of different incidents. So I was really concerned that the Irish Defence Forces were not taking my research findings seriously. And so I made several attempts to speak to senior officers. In one of those meetings, I was in a private office with this senior male officer. And as I was outlining my research findings to him and the gender inequalities within the Irish Defence Forces that my research had revealed, this officer actually began to try and play footsie with me under the table as I expressed my research on gender inequities.
That just seems such an extraordinary scenario. Could you have been mistaken?
No, I don't think so, because I pulled my feet away on several occasions, and on several occasions I ended up feeling his foot against mine again, and even against my ankle and my toe. So in the end, I just tucked my feet under my chair to avoid any interaction like that with him again. You have to remember, I was in an office as well by myself with him. And so this was a deeply uncomfortable and embarrassing situation.
Did you say anything at the time or since?
No, I didn't. I didn't say anything at the time. I think it goes back to, again, what I said earlier. You feel like you're somehow making a fuss or being a bit of a troublemaker if you're raising awareness of these issues.
And there was another issue, Shirley, in relation to the research and how it was responded to by the Defence Forces.
Yeah, this was a really devastating moment for me. I had discussed my research in private with a woman officer, and she had said that she agreed with every single word in my thesis. And then later at a public event with other senior male officers present, she essentially said she disagreed with my research and its findings.
You have put all of these issues in a submission to the Commission on the Defence Forces. Why did you decide to do that?
Yeah, it was really important for me to speak out on behalf of the women in the Irish Defence Forces who maybe didn't feel they could speak out on behalf of themselves because of fear that their identities would become known or that there would be some sort of negative reaction or retribution, or it might in any way hinder their promotion prospects. So because of the findings in my own research that set out very clearly sexist attitudes and misogynistic behaviours within the institution, and because of my own personal experiences while conducting this research, I really wanted to put this on public record and make it known. Like I said, because I had felt silenced personally, and because I also knew from my research that women in the Irish Defence Forces felt silenced, I wanted to break that silence and make this story known.
Your research, particularly your field research, dates back a considerable period now into the late noughties. What makes you think things haven't improved since you conducted this research?
Well, first of all, there have been three national action plans on women, peace and security since that time. And those plans have made commitments to increasing the numbers of women in the Irish Defence Forces and also deployment on peacekeeping missions. So, but what we notice since then is actually that despite a recruitment campaign focused on women and seemingly a spend of over €1 million. There has been a very marginal increase in the numbers of women in the Irish Defence Forces. Also, the numbers of women deploying have actually decreased if you look at the annual statistics since that time. So I suppose I have questions around why is that? Why is it that the Irish Defence Forces cannot retain the women they have? And why are they having difficulty recruiting more women? Also, I had a conversation with an Irish woman officer who has since resigned, who told me that she hasn't seen many changes in the Irish Defence Forces since the development of the National Action Plans, and that it looks much better on paper than it actually feels in practice. So it's really, you know, all of these concerns that concern me. And so, therefore, I think we need an investigation and some further research into what is actually happening culturally within the Irish Defence Forces that is creating barriers to women's inclusion.
And that was Dr. Shirley Graham speaking to me from Washington. Roisin Chartle, you were shaking your head as you were listening to that interview. Really some extraordinary statements there by Dr. Graham.
Absolutely. First of all, Katie, well done to you and RTE for that excellent programme last week. But, you know, huge credit to the 8 whistleblowers that participated in that programme, 7 of whom who had reported sexual abuse to senior people within the Defence Forces. And incredibly, nobody was brought to book over this.
And just to say, it was actually six cases of abuse that had been reported.
Okay, yeah. Six. Like, it is just shocking to think that 20 years after Tom Clonan blew the whistle on this, that there's still a very live culture of misogyny, abuse and discrimination within the Defence Forces. And this issue just has to be tackled in a comprehensive way. I mean, this thing of putting action plans in place is no good. It's about changing the culture. And, you know, that the culture starts at the top, and senior people within the Defence Forces have to take responsibility for a shocking, discriminatory, bullying culture that exists there. And they must take clear steps to change that. Now, part and parcel of that is having an independent investigation following on from your programme. I look forward to that happening at an early stage. I note that the minister just announced a few minutes before this programme started that he's actually going to meet with those 8 whistleblowers from last week. Look, we need action on this. Women have put up with this kind of stuff for far too long. I think, you know, what Shirley Graham has said there today just compounds the whole thing. How somebody coming from outside, even doing an academic study, could still be subject to sexual abuse in this way. It's
absolutely shocking. And I should say as well, even though that field research was from, I think, 2006 to 2009, she didn't complete that thesis until a number of years later. So some of those experiences about what happened when she was presenting her research would be, you know, much more recent than that. So
sure, and that is
and that is after we've had the internal the independent investigation into these issues after the Clonan research and all the monitoring group reports that followed on from that. David Cunanan.
Listen, what we've heard again today and last week from survivors themselves has been nothing short of astounding and shocking. There are obviously deep cultural problems within the Defence Forces, right at the very top, it would seem. And that's not to do a disservice to any individual, but there are cultural problems, organisational problems that obviously have to be tackled. And I think that what we need is a full independent inquiry into all of the allegations, because I think if you have an inquiry within the Defence Forces itself, I'm not sure that will satisfy survivors. And the experience that we've just heard over the last few minutes reiterates that very, very loudly and very, very clearly. And any allegations of harassment or abuse of any nature has to be first of all examined, but also the culture that leads to it has to be rooted out. And if that means people from the outside coming in to lead an investigation on the one hand that establishes all of the facts, but also then puts in place the practical changes which need to come about has to be done. But men in the Defence Forces should know better. And as I say that as a man, it's absolutely unacceptable to hear what we have heard today again and over the last week.
Okay. Minister Mary Butler, when the initial response to our documentary last week was, look, we have an independent review that we're in at an advanced stage of establishing, and so we'll talk to the women of honour and we will, you know, we'll include their thoughts in terms of reference in that. Is that good enough?
No, it's not, and thankfully that response has been updated today. I listened back to that podcast this week, and as a woman, I was just chilled. Do you know that feeling in the pit of your stomach, thinking of this bullying culture, the sexual harassment, the sexual assault, the abuse, the misogyny, as both speakers have said. And I really want to commend each and every one of the brave women who have spoken out. But Katie, and I want to thank you as well, but what really struck me in the podcast was one of the lines one of the women said, I think it might have been Karina, when you talk out, it can be a career-ending moment. And that's why the women were so afraid to talk out. But look, what I will say is I am delighted that the minister will be meeting with the women of honour very, very soon. And he has stated in his statement that the terms of the establishment of an independent review are being reviewed. And I can confirm that they will be conducted by independent, unbiased personnel, and that's what needs to happen, an independent review. But like what David said, the culture has to change as well, because I cannot believe this is 2021, and to think or imagine what members of the Army, the Naval and the Air Force, female members, have gone through. I'm sick to my stomach, I'll be honest.
The inquiry, this is the Women of Honour asked that the inquiry needs to examine not just policies and procedures but the actual incidents and the culture. Can we get a commitment that that is what we're now talking about, Minister?
Well, sorry, I'm just reading through the press release that was released at 1:45 today, and I think the minister has said quite clearly he can confirm that this would be conducted by independent, unbiased personnel, and I think it's absolutely a minimum that that's what will happen, that these women will be listened to and that changes will be made going forward, because this is not a culture that anyone can stand over. And to think or imagine that people, you know, they had hair loss, the stress, the trauma, exhaustion, isolated, the mental anguish for them and their families. It's just a shocking indictment of what has gone on.
Okay. Okay, we leave that there. And as we say, it's obviously a developing story in terms of the department's and the Defence Force's response to these revelations. And I just want to thank Dr. Shirley Graham for speaking to us on that as well.